Good morning, my friends. It is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, and our scriptures, I believe, have in mind the endurance of faith that we discover across a lifetime, though that's hard to hear. It's also Father's Day, and these scriptures were clearly not inspired by the people at Hallmark. It's a bad day for fathers in our readings. First, Abraham, the father of all believers, sends off his firstborn son to die in the desert. And then Jesus, our Jesus, sets fathers and sons and mothers and daughters against each other for the sake of following him. Happy Father's Day, my friends. But I told you, I believe that our scriptures have at their heart the endurance of faith that only comes across a lifetime. Think about it in the story of Abraham. Abraham is the first to believe in one God, the father of monotheists, the father of believers. And that means that he grew up in a world that was polytheistic, where gods were a dime a dozen, and of course, where beliefs were also a dime a dozen. Anything that you believed, you could probably find a god who would help you to believe that, to reinforce whatever it was, like the idea that you should sacrifice your son. That's next week's reading. Or today, that you should take your firstborn son and send him off in the desert to die with your wife's handmaid. It seems preposterous, and yet I think we also live in a world that is similar. You can Google anything. You can go on YouTube, even for theology, and find someone who agrees with you. And it's against that backdrop that we hear this story of Abraham. It says that God told him to do this. I don't believe that for a second. Not because I know better the voice of God, but I know exactly what it's like when all of the voices of the world, when the noise all around us tells us to do something, and we imagine that might be the voice of God. Even as in the case of Abraham, when it comes from someone that you love, someone you trust, we imagine that to be the voice of God. And then there are these sayings of Jesus, these difficult sayings of Jesus. You might hear them on Father's Day or on October the 32nd. I think they are still difficult to hear. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set fathers against their sons. If you do not carry your cross, you are not worthy to follow me. Those who love their lives must lose it. Well, I have a theory on how we might make sense of this. It's something that I learned from a mentor, a professor at Emory. His name was Fred Craddock. And Dr. Craddock said, every time you come to difficult readings in Scripture, you have to imagine the strange world of the Bible. You have to remember that in the ancient world, gurus did not offer themselves publicly, like at our church, with a sign that says, all are welcome. Instead, they set themselves far removed. And if you wanted to find enlightenment, it meant that you had to go on a journey up a mountain to find the guru. And the first trip up the mountain, after hiking, the guru would say to you that he was busy. And back down you went. And then the second time you went up the mountain, she would say to you that she had other things to do and slam the door. And then the third time you would go up the mountain, these are Dr. Craddock's words, the guru would hit you over the head with a stick. And then maybe if you went up the mountain a fourth time, finally, the guru would welcome you in, glad that you were committed to discovering enlightenment and were willing to do the difficult work. And then the process of enlightenment began. I think something like that is what happens to Abraham over the course of his lifetime in this journey of faith. Remember the story of Abraham, how God meets him and introduces God's self to him as the one true and living God and makes these wonderful promises. And then Abraham and Sarah are left without a child. We call that their first trip up the mountain, and the guru sends them away. And then perhaps our story today is the second trip up the mountain. Abraham sends his own son, his firstborn son, out into the desert to die because he believes that is God's will. And the guru slams the door. Next week, in the binding of Isaac, the near sacrifice of Isaac, again, Abraham believes that God has called him to do this thing. And there, appropriately, I think the guru hits him over the head with a stick. But what does Genesis say again and again? Abraham journeys on. In all of these rejections, in all of these bad decisions, Abraham does not lose sight of the goal of being a friend of God, of being the father of those who will come to believe. And so again, he journeys up the mountain until finally God fulfills these promises made to him. I think the same thing is true in this reading from Matthew's gospel. Hear these difficult sayings of Jesus like a trek up and down the mountain. We go up the first time, and Jesus says, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And the guru sends us away, we who were looking for easy answers. And then a second time, we go up the mountain, and Jesus says, "I came to set parents against their children, children against their parents," and the door slammed. We go up a third time, and Jesus says, "If you do not carry your cross, you're not worthy to be my disciple." It's the stick across the head. Ah, but the fourth time, finally, what does he say? "Those who lose their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, they will actually find it." I told you that I believe these readings are about the endurance of faith that comes across our lifetime. And I think that is why we are here, why we come week after week over the courses of our lives to stand, to sit, to kneel in prayer, to listen for the deeper voice of God, not short-lived or instant, the kind of faith that can only emerge in prayer over the course of our lives. I'll tell you, I learned this from the Reverend Dr. Sarah Coakley. If you don't know that name, I hope that you will. It's actually my hope that she will come here to St. Paul's and teach a course on prayer. I got to know her during my time in Boston. She's a priest in the Church of England, one of the most brilliant theologians I have ever met. Now she's at Virginia Theological Seminary. She taught me that we so often treat prayer as transactional. And the worst thing that can happen to us is that our prayers are answered quickly. Because when our prayers are answered quickly, we find inspiration, and then we go wandering back into the world, forgetting, neglecting that the first thing we should do is to return. To pray again, to wonder where we might be wrong, where God could push us more deeply to discover the ways of God that are always beyond us. Dr. Coakley is from England, and she said in coming to this country, she realized that we, as Americans, we all read To Kill a Mockingbird, and then we understand life and the things that are wrong with the world, and we find ourselves enlightened for about 10 days. And then we go back to whatever it was that we were doing. And she says that is a metaphor of prayer. That we too often pray and find some sort of enlightenment. And then we're off to do whatever it was that we were going to do it our way. And we forget, we neglect to come back and pray and seek the deeper wisdom of God, the transformational, self-giving love of Christ. She says that the only way to pray is on your knees for 40 years. It requires coming back again and again, because otherwise, like Abraham, we are susceptible to believing that the noise around us is the voice of God. And of course, it never is. So, my friends, that is my prayer for you today. As a father, as a mother, as an activist, a lover of justice, a pilgrim, a disciple, return to the secret closet of prayer, where Jesus says that God sees us and knows us and loves us, and return again and again. Because there, on your knees for 40 years, I'm persuaded to believe, we might actually discover the love of God that Jesus has promised to us all. Amen.